Good morning. Trust and pray everybody is doing well on this Thanksgiving Sunday morning. I call it Thanksgiving Sunday morning as we head into Thanksgiving week. Don't know exactly what plans you may have, but we're praying that the Lord's going to bless you, watch you, and keep you safe through this Thanksgiving time. So as we begin this morning, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, we once again thank you for this day and the opportunity to gather together. Lord, we realize that, that Father, as we come together in your name today, we're doing so from various and sundry places. Lord, some right here in our multipurpose building. Lord, some outside in the parking lot, some on the lawn. Father, some over in the sanctuary, as well as those who are watching from home today. And Lord, I just pray that you will help each and every one of us to focus upon you, focus upon your word today, that we might hear what it is that you would have for each and every one of us. Lord, as we head into this week, we have so much to be thankful for, but not just during the season of Thanksgiving, but each and every day of our lives. May we truly come before you with an attitude of gratitude, and may others see that in such a fashion, Lord, that you would be honored, that you would be glorified. So help us today, Lord, as we gather together and praise your name. For Father, praise, you show up to inhabit the praise of your children. And we're so grateful that that as we think about Thanksgiving, Lord, as we will hear our brass play in just a few moments, it will take us to places from our past. Lord, it will remind us of the good times of being together with family and friends, and it will remind us of your provision. And Lord, as we gather around your word, may you speak to our heart in a way that will move us closer to you. And so Lord, just bless us. Bless everything that happens as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, do want to remind you that if you still have your Operation Christmas Child box, you can bring that. We will be collecting today up till 4 o'clock. And then tomorrow, if you can get it here in the morning, that's like right under the wire, because we're actually going to be taking them this afternoon. The boxes that you see over there, we'll actually be taking those over to the next drop-off point before they head out. And it's been such a joy and a thrill and a pleasure to be a part of Operation Christmas Child that will make such a difference in so many lives. So just a quick reminder on that, and just sit back, enjoy. I know that even just a few moments ago, as I heard Jim and the brass band play, reminded me a lot of my days of growing up, times of being not only in church but just around the community, and those songs take me back to some really wonderful places in my life. So you sit back and let the Lord speak to you as Jim leads our band today. Have your Bible this morning. Go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. You know, as we come together today and we think about what we are going to be celebrating this week, the time that we call Thanksgiving, we have so much to be thankful for. You know, Thanksgiving reminds us of how much we owe to those who have gone on before us. Thanksgiving should remind us of all that we owe to those who have stood in the gap and purchased the freedoms that each and every one of us enjoy as American people. And as we come not only together without cause of somebody wanting to arrest us, which is unlike many other places in the world today, but Thanksgiving reminds us of how much we have, or it should. You know, when we begin to think about it, we get at times in a point where we want so much more. Yeah, how much is enough? I always like that expression. You've probably heard it before. And somebody says, well, how much is enough? And you know what the answer to that is? Just a little bit more. We're always striving to get more, to do more, to be more. And you know, that is not necessarily a bad thing when it is kept in the proper perspective. But today I want us to look at how God has blessed us so much. You know, when we think about how the past, you know, 8, almost 9 months have gone in our country, we have seen some tremendous adjustment, haven't we? Adjustment is probably a mild word. When we sit back and think about how you had to adjust your life since the coronavirus hit, what are the things that have happened in your life that are not like they normally used to be? Yeah, I've said this several different times through the midst of this pandemic that when we begin to look at life, there are different kinds of people. There are those that that go with the flow. How many of you here are go with the flow people? You know, you're just like, oh, whatever. You're really adjustable. I have no go with the flow people in this building. Maybe there's some over in the sanctuary, or maybe there are some at home. While you're just laid back, you're just go with the flow kind of person. Okay, either that or you're not awake. Now, if you're not a go-with-the-flow kind of person, then that means that you're one of those who has everything charted out. This is the way it goes. You are one of those people who has a set way of doing things, a set time of doing things, and you have an order. Some of you have lists, and we've talked about that before. Where are my list makers out here? Oh, yeah, hallelujah, I see you. This is probably driving you crazy, isn't it? This pandemic has probably shaken you out of your frame, because every time you think that you've got a plan, it gets turned around. And it's completely out of your control. It is something that the government has said or done. It is something that has happened to somebody else that has affected you. A lot of us know, I mean, you know, we enjoy going out to eat, and there for the longest time, you had to either pick it up and bring it home, or you weren't sitting down at a restaurant. Y'all remember those days, don't you? Some of you are sitting there going, I still remember those days. I'm still doing that. But it was so different. Some of you remember going to the grocery store and seeing aisles cleaned out, particularly of paper products. Right? Look, heading that way again, and it's frustrated you. How many of you got frustrated in the midst of that? Somewhere along the way, this thing has just frustrated you. And you have, oh, I can't believe I'm buying up all the toilet paper. I can't even go eat. All right. And the reason why is because it's going against the flow of everything that we have known as normal. Now, folks, I've been saying this all along. I believe with all of my heart that God is using this pandemic to get the attention not only of His church, but of His people and of the United States of America. I believe that with all of my heart. God is showing us that He is still in control, and He is showing us that things can change at a moment's notice. One day, everything was normal, and the next day, it was completely upside down, wasn't it? So here's my question. My question is, how have you been doing over the past pandemic months? Has the pandemic made you digress as a Christian person? Or has it made you increase as a Christian person? Now, I want to stick with a very simple passage of scripture today, which I mentioned to you, which comes out of the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. And it's just a handful of verses. And not only do I want us to remember these this week as we celebrate Thanksgiving, but I want us to remember them each and every day of our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16, says this, Rejoice always. Now, I could stop right there and finish the rest of this message on that, couldn't I? Rejoice always. How much rejoicing have we been doing over the past 8 or 9 months? Well, let me rephrase it. How much rejoicing have we done in the past 8 or 9 months compared to the amount of complaining we have done in the past 8 or 9 months? You know, they say confession's good for the soul. How many of you all have complained? You see where my hand is, don't you? I've complained. I don't like this. I don't like not being able to get together as a church. I don't like not being able to shake somebody's hand. I don't like not being able to hug somebody. Ah, blah, blah, blah. I've said before, like one of them old Chatty Cathy dolls with a string on it, except I'm pulling my own string. I haven't enjoyed this, so to say. But yet the Lord tells us this. He says, rejoice always. Always is a specific term right there, not just when it's convenient for us, not just when it is good for us. Rejoice always. So when you think about that, that means even rejoice in the times when things aren't going good. It means for us to rejoice in Him even when life is tough and when life is bad and when you don't know how you're going to make it from one moment to the next. The Lord tells us as His children that we are to rejoice. You see, if we can't do that, then what we have is this thing called circumstantial faith that you have heard me preach and preach and preach and preach for years and years and years. And why do I continue to do that? I do so because it is something that crops up in our hearts and in our minds and in our activities continually. So what is circumstantial faith? Circumstantial faith means that how we feel or how we believe or how we act or how we react to something is based on our ever-changing circumstances rather than our never-changing God. And folks, let me tell you this. As you well know, our circumstances can change moment by moment. And you know what it's like. You've started off and you've had a really good day. You know, and the day's been going well. You know, you had your shower, you had your coffee, traffic was good for you, and then you got to work and everything fell apart. Or you had a circumstance, you got that one phone call and everything fell apart, and it affected you for the rest of your day, and sometimes the day after, and sometimes the day after. And you weren't rejoicing. People that knew there was something in your heart or something on your mind. They might have even said to you, hey man, are you okay? Is there something going on with you? And you're, oh no, everything's fine. No, it has affected you. Now the Lord tells us as His children that we are to rejoice always. Are we rejoicing? Yeah, we've come through an election. I have heard more complaining in the past several months than I think I've heard in a lifetime. How many of y'all are with me? You've heard that. You know, it's like everywhere we go, it's our society has been turned on its head, and we're not rejoicing. We're not rejoicing in the Lord. We're not celebrating as God's children like we ought to be. We are not showing forth an attitude of gratitude. Now, I've said this, and I'm going to say it continually, that no matter where our circumstances, remember circumstantial faith, no matter where our circumstances are, here's something I know. God is still in control. God is still on the throne, and God still expects us to be able to take heart and take peace and love in Him. He says in verse 16, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Are we doing that? Are we praying? Now, trust me when I tell you that for a lot of folks, I know that there's been a lot more prayer. Their prayer life's gotten a whole lot better over the past months as well through the pandemic because of the uncertainty, because of the unknown. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything, give thanks. Well, wait a minute, preacher. You mean I'm supposed to give thanks for the pandemic? You might not be giving thanks for the pandemic, but you can give thanks for the things that God wants to do in your heart and in your life and in the world around you through the pandemic. See, every great thing that God has ever done has been traced back to him using people and taking situations and circumstances that people were not familiar with, that people couldn't handle, that people couldn't do. I recall as Israel exited Egypt, you remember what happened there? That wasn't a picnic. You got to remember that there was even some cost that took place in that situation. And when I say there was some cost, when Moses went and told Pharaoh, God said, let my people go, things got worse on the Israelites, didn't they? Remember, their workload doubled. Not only did their workload double, now they didn't have the material or the supplies. And how many times did Israel say, oh, it would have been better if we would have just died in Egypt. At least there were graves there. At least we would have had food. Yeah. And now we have followed you outside of here. Folks, we've got to stop looking back to Egypt. We are where we are. I believe God wants to do great things, not only in the life of the church across the world, not only in Central Baptist Church, but he wants to do great things in the lives of his children. And let me ask you this, where are you in regard to being grateful and thankful to what God has done in the midst of the times of crisis? In everything, give thanks for it. Get this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What does that mean? So you're saying that it is God's will that we're going through this right now? Yes. God knows what's taking place. God knows what's going on. And can we give thanks? Are we able to do that? You know, one of the things I think that we have forgotten is that in the Bible, you know, Paul actually lists ingratitude among the deadly vices of sin in our lives. In 2 Timothy 3:2, he says, people will be lovers of money, boastful, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, unforgiving, without self-control, treacherous, and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That sounds like we're reading what's a description of society in 2020, doesn't it? And Paul lists that in ingratitude. You know what it's like. You've done something for somebody at some point in your life, and you've put a lot of heart and soul and a lot of effort into it, and they weren't thankful for it. Remember how that made you feel? Remember when you did something really special, maybe for one of your children, maybe for a friend or a neighbor, and it was something special to you to be able to offer to them. Not that you wanted them to break their arm, patting you on the back or something like that, but yet you would have liked for them to have been grateful or thankful over it, and they weren't. And you thought to yourself, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. Forget that. I won't go to this length ever again. Paul says that we're to be thankful. He says it over and over and over again. And in doing so, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Now, if you're an average American today, and I would say that most of us, not only here, you know, on campus, but those that are watching from home, I would say that you're at least an average American. Now, what do I mean when I say you're at least an average American? That means that you are tremendously blessed. You might not sit there and think about that today, but you are tremendously blessed. But are you really thankful for the blessings that God has allowed in your life? See, most of us take our blessings for granted, and we assume that we're always going to have them. Now, let me give you some examples. Today, if you own a Bible, maybe you've got it with you. Hopefully you do. Maybe it's one that's worn. Maybe it's one that you use on a daily basis. But if you own a Bible, you are abundantly blessed. Because do you realize that about a third of the world's population does not have access to one? I have been places where a Bible was a tremendous gift. I have been places where when a Bible was given out, they would take it and they would actually separate the binding and separate each book of the Bible so that 66 people could be reading the Bible at one time. And then what they would do is they would trade with each other. They would trade those sections that they had cut out of the Bible. And yet you and I have one laying on the coffee table, in the bedroom, on our desk, in the car, under the couch, collecting dust. Folks, let me tell you something. If you even own a copy of the Word of God, you are blessed. See, if you can go to bed each night knowing that God loves you, then you are tremendously blessed. If you have anyone on this planet, just one friend who cares about you, just one friend who will listen to you, one friend who will comfort you when you need it, if you just have one of those, then you can count yourself as blessed above all measure to have that person in your life. If you can freely attend a place of worship just like today, if you can freely come to church without fear, then you are more blessed than most people. Again, I have experienced where I have stood up and preached the gospel, and there's had to been somebody in the door, and there's been people out there keeping watch so that government officials don't come drag me off to jail. They've been my watchman on the wall, so to say. I know what it's like to be in a situation where the freedoms aren't exercised or aren't able to be exercised in the same manner in which we have, and yet we take that for granted. Folks, there are many people who could be here in the house of God today. And people go, well, I know there's a pandemic. And trust me when I say I understand it, if that's where you are. But folks, there's a lot of people who could be here and worshiping with us today that aren't because they chose not to be. They chose not to be. Whether the pandemic has become an excuse in some ways, whatever the case may be. Now, I probably just offended some people. If the shoe fits, wear it. You know, it's like old boy says, I hadn't offended anybody in the other ways. Don't use things as an excuse to stay away from God when people spend hours upon hours and walk mile after mile after mile to be together to experience what God is offering you and I today. We need to be thankful that we have this opportunity. If you have food in the refrigerator, if you have clothing on your back, if you have a roof over your head, if you have a place to sleep, you are rich in this world. I have been to the home of a preacher and his wife, and he invited us in with a smile on his face. And I'll guarantee you, his house wasn't 10 feet by 10 feet. And it was sectioned into two. And the one section was the kitchen. The other section was the bedroom / living room / whatever else you want to call it. Everything into one room. They had one bed. They had one teenage child. And with a smile on his face, come in. Let me offer you something. As I stood in the kitchen, the sun was still shining in my eyes. You know why? Because there was no roof over it. There wasn't a roof there. And it said that the hurricane had blown the roof off, but God had blessed. God had blessed. Because the government had given them some corrugated roofing. And I'm like, well, how come you didn't put it up? He said, well, we did, but we put it on the church instead of our house. And yet that man and his family felt blessed beyond all measure. Could you do that today? Could you look at your situation and be as blessed and as peaceful in heart and content? You see, folks, Thanksgiving is the key to contentment. Not the holiday Thanksgiving, the act of Thanksgiving is the key to contentment. If you have an earthly family here that even halfway supports you, then you are blessed. If you have a church family that offers you a word of encouragement, that prays for you, that walks life with you, then you are blessed beyond all measure. You know, I thought about the impact that even doing things like Operation Christmas Child has meant in my life. And by the way, I told you wrong a minute ago. We're taking boxes till 5 today, not 4. So make a note of that. 5 o'clock today. But yesterday, a lady that I don't know pulled up and she backed up to that door over there yesterday evening. And we went out to meet her, and in the back of her SUV were just oodles of bags full of stuff. And she had some boxes. She said, let me get the boxes. She said, I don't know if I have enough. Do you all have some boxes? I said, oh yeah, we got boxes. No problem with that. And we began to get the information, and one of the boys that was working with us beat me to the punch and said, our pastor would like to pray with you before you go. And I said, oh yes, I said, I would love to be able to, if you don't mind, we'd like to pray for you. We would like to pray for those that will be receiving these boxes, these gifts. We would like to pray for the child and that family, and we would like to pray that God would bless you because you have answered the call of God in your life to participate in this ministry. And she said, yes, that'd be fine. And I still remember just bowing my head and thanking God for this lady's obedience. And asking, say, Lord, do something incredible with this little box. This is like gold. This is an opportunity for a child to be cared for a family to be cared for the gospel message to go out. And Lord, bless this lady and her family really well for what she's done. And when I said amen, there were tears coming down her face. And she said, you know, God has blessed me so much. And I think about those who do not have. And it has driven me to just be a part, to just do something. Folks, when's the last time that you had tears in your eyes because of someone else? I hate to say it that way. We've gone into survival mode. We've gone into take care of ourselves mode. And yet the Lord says, we're to serve others. We're to carry the word to others. We're to be thankful for salvation. We're to be thankful for Jesus. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for the fact that this ain't it. I'm thankful that someday I am going to look my master face to face. And that someday I will be in that place where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more heartache, where we shall reign with him forever. That's the day that I'm working for. Do we have an attitude of gratitude? We are blessed, and we're blessed indeed, but yet we take our blessings for granted. Husbands taking their wives for granted. You come home to a neat, clean house, sleep on clean sheets, have wholesome meals, and yet they're not appreciated. Wives, you take their husbands for granted, their faithfulness, their hard work to their job, their responsibilities, the things they take care of, and yet they're not appreciated. And the children, they take their kind and generous parents for granted. Their faithfulness to the children. And yet what happens is it doesn't dawn on them until they're left alone with only the two graves and a handful of memories. Stop taking for granted the the blessings God has placed in our lives. Don't worry about using them up. It's a story that was told of a gardener who said this. He said, "One summer I decided that since there were 2 pints of raspberries to pick every day, that I could save a lot of time and energy if I just picked the raspberries once a week. That way, I could harvest all 14 pints at once. So I let a week go by, and then I went and started harvesting my berries. But when I finished, all I had was 2 pints. I couldn't understand it. There should have been 7 times as many raspberries, but there weren't. Years later, I realized what happened that summer. As long as I was utilizing my supply of raspberries every day, my abundance continued. It was only when I stopped utilizing my supply that the abundance decreased. Because I didn't harvest my berries on a daily basis, I lost them. Some raspberries ripened and fell to the ground. Others were eaten by birds. Many simply didn't develop because there was still a supply that hadn't been harvested. Because I hadn't been happy harvesting 2 pints of raspberries a day, the universe figured I wouldn't be happy with 14 pints a week either. And that was the first of the universal laws I had grasped. Until you learn to be happy with what you have, you won't be happy with more." Think about that for a moment. Until we learn to notice and appreciate and to use the abundance that surrounds us right now, we won't be receptive to additional abundance either. You know, I shared with you my story about my coat, and my mother apologized for that. It's all right, Mom, because I know you'll be watching later. But my coat that I just took so good a care of but never used for what it was intended for until my mama gave it away. Now, my cousin used it. It had dirt all over it. I cleaned that thing. I made sure it was spotless, and it had, you know, briar picks on it. Because remember, I'm a hillbilly. I grew up in the mountains. There were briar picks on that coat. There was dirt and mud on it. And it drove me crazy. I'll tell you something. He enjoyed that coat. And I didn't get to. Because I took it for granted. I didn't use it for what it was intended to. So how do we learn to appreciate what we have? How do we learn to be content with where we are? First of all, you start acknowledging what you have and where you are as a blessing from God Almighty. You realize this: everything belongs to God. All we are stewards. That might sound like a fancy biblical Christian term, but we are stewards. What does that mean? That means that God has entrusted us with these blessings. But he has entrusted, they're his, but he's entrusted us with them that we might use them for his honor, for his glory. That we might lift him up, that he might draw all people unto him. And listen, it's not about you. It's not about me. Your bank account's not yours, it's God's. Are you being a good steward? Your automobile is not yours, it's God's. Are you using it for his honor, for his glory? The church is the people, it's not the building. God has given us the opportunity to come together into fellowship. Are you taking that for granted? And I get it, we're in a pandemic. I know there are folks high risk. But you know what? Here's the thing, folks. There's a lot of folks that aren't high risk that there's plenty of room for in the house of God because of the kingdom of God. And it is time for us to stop being selfish. It's time to stop being a hoarder of the blessings and the mercies of God. Gimme, 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 gimme.
Listen, you try to outgive God, and I will make you a promise. You can't do it. You can't. It's like the wind is oil, remember? It's all she had. Did you get that? The servant of the Lord said, "What do you have?" And she said, "All I have is this little bit of oil." Remember how that turned out? God told the servant told the lady, "Get as many vessels as you can. Don't just get a few, get a bunch." And said, "Go in with your sons and close the door." And as she began to pour the oil out of the, I mean, I'm just picturing this little flask of oil that she could hold in her one hand. And then I'm picturing a 55-gallon drum sitting in front of her. And she goes, and it poured and poured and poured and poured and poured. And she probably went and poured and poured. So with what she held in her hand, she filled up a 55-gallon drum and said, "Son, bring me another one." And she poured and she poured and she poured and she poured. "Son, bring me another one." And she poured and she poured and she poured and she poured. Until finally she said, "Son, bring me another." And the boy said, "There are no more, Mom." And then the oil dried up. It wasn't until then. So folks, how do we learn to appreciate what we have? I love what my brother pastor from down the road said one time when he preached our community Thanksgiving service. And it was a song that they sang, but not only is it a song that he said he and his church would sing, but they were marching orders that they had. It says that when I can't say a word, remember that? When I'm so downtrodden and I can't even say a word, when I can't even lift up my voice, if I can't lift up my voice to God, what did he say we need to do? We need to, I just wave my hand. "Lord, I'm here." And he knows it. He knows where you are. "Lord, I'm so hurt right now. I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to do, but I'm gonna wave my hand. That's what I'm going to do. Lord, I'm so joyous. I don't even have words, but I'm gonna wave my hand." Have we been giving God the glory in all the things that make up our life? I think about what it means to be thankful. The T stands for time. How much time are you spending with those you need to spend time with in the Lord? H for health. How many of you thank God for your health? You know, all of a sudden we start thanking God for stuff when we're in fear we're going to lose it. Why don't you thank Him while you're healthy? A, abilities that God has given you. God has given so many abilities to the folks that I see on this campus and the people that I know that are viewing out there. You are talented. Are you using that for God's honor, for His glory? The N stands for nature. To enjoy what it is that God has put in our midst. K stands for knowledge that God's given us. On so many levels, spiritual knowledge as well as knowledge to survive in this life. F stands for family. You got family around you? You're blessed. Are you thankful for them? How about you? How about understanding? Boy, understanding seems to have gone out the door in our world today, isn't it? Why is it that today it seems like that if we don't have the same thought or opinion on something, that we just have to cut one another asunder? Well, if you don't agree with me, then I don't like you anymore. If your opinion's not like mine, I can't associate with you anymore. Why do we do that? You know what? I want to tell you right now today, there are people who disagree with me and disagree with my stance. There are people who disagree with me on just about any subject you can think of, from God down to shooting marbles. But you know what else? We still love each other. We can sit there and scrap and go round and round, and I can tell them how wrong they are. And we'll still have a cup of coffee when it's all over and said and done. And yet, I have seen our country so divided over politics that it's almost nauseating. Really, it's almost nauseating. I've seen militants on both sides. And you know what? You're entitled to the way you feel and believe. So am I. My whole thing is just make sure you're viewing it through the lens of a biblical worldview. That's all I ask. That's all I ask. Will you do that? Are you looking through a biblical worldview? Do you have understanding? There's no more gift needed or desired than understanding friends. When someone listens to our words and shares our feelings and our joys, then we increase in that regard. I've had some people who are completely unbelievers in my life. They think I'm the world's wrongest person, but I'll tell you this, if I needed them, they would stand up for me in a heartbeat. They would protect me, they would look after me because they love me, because I don't judge them. Do I witness to them? Yep. Do they get tired of hearing that? Yep. Do they still put up with me? Yep. Because you know what else they know? That when they need me, I'll be there as well. And the ironic part has been there have been times when some of the biggest atheists have seen me show up on their doorstep or in their hospital room. And when I said, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" They said, I'd be glad for you to. And there was no judgment, none whatsoever. That's the U. How about the L? See, L stands for life. Are you living life in the manner in which God intended for you to live it? It's interesting that there's an author named Gail Sheehy discussed various crises that people face when they go through life. And one reader was a middle-aged man, and he said, "I have just come to the realization that I'm not going to live forever and that I've wasted so many precious years. I feel like I did as a child going to my first circus." He said, "I visited one sideshow after another, hoping to see everything. The rubber lady, the cobra charmer, the sword swallower, the five-legged calf, the biggest, the smallest, the longest, the tallest. Time meant nothing until I reached the big tent too late. The three rings were bare, empty of clowns, acrobats, and trick horses. Foolishly, I had spent my entire day with a bunch of cheap sideshows and missed the main attraction. Furthermore, the circus would be gone in the morning. Let's not miss the important things. Instead, let us be thankful for life." Are you thankful for life? You know, folks, very few of us are going to receive the biggest prizes in life. Most of us aren't going to win, you know, the Pulitzer, the Nobel Prize, the Heisman, the Oscar, or any of the other big show awards. But we're all eligible for life's simple little pleasures. A pat on the back for a job well done. A 5-pound bass caught in the lake. A full moon. An empty parking space close to the door. A crackling fire as fall air comes around. A great meal that you've just enjoyed thoroughly, cooked by hands of those who love you. A glorious sunset. Enjoy life's little delights, because there's plenty for each and every one of us. Are you enjoying life today? Have you paused, or are you just so caught up in the push and shove that you have forgotten to be thankful? What does our scripture say? Our scripture says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Are you a thankful person? You know, I think that so often, a lot of the tension, particularly where we are right now, a lot of the tensions simply come because we're afraid of what we might lose rather than being grateful for what we have. And I know, you know, listen, I'm guilty. You're guilty. If you're honest, you're guilty. In certain areas, maybe not all of them, but in certain areas, there's that time where we have been really ungrateful. We've just run up and snatched it out of God's hands. We didn't say thank you. You know, I'm reminded of the woman that came to Jesus, and if you remember, she anointed his feet. And she did so with tears in her eyes, and the tears fell down on Jesus' feet. If you remember, it says that she took her hair and dried his feet. You see, why was she doing that? You see, Jesus had done some incredible things in her life, and she was thankful. She was so thankful that she wanted to do something to try to show her thankfulness to the Lord. So she took that expensive oil and anointed his feet. How about the 10 lepers that we read about in the Word of God? That the Lord healed them and said, you go show yourselves to the priest. And all 10 of them on their way to go see the priest that could rule them as clean again so that they could come back into society once again. 10 of them went. Only one of them came back to say thank you to Jesus. And he said, weren't there 10 of you? Where are the other 9? Oh, but the one realized something. You see, the one on his way back to Jesus realized that he could re-enter society again, that he could be with his family again, that he would no longer have to cross to the other side of the street. He would no longer have to yell unclean when people came near him, that God had done something incredible in his life. And he wanted to say thank you. Are we saying thank you for the blessings of God in our life, even in the middle of a pandemic, even when life seems to be shut down? Now, it's affected you. I know it has. It's affected me. It's affected us economically. It's affected us socially. It's affected us as a body of the Lord. But are we going to allow it to have victory over us? Or will we come together today and rejoice, pray without ceasing, saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for what you've done for me, what you're doing for me. And Lord, help me be a blessing in somebody else's life, starting today. I'm going to ask our brass to get ready in just a moment. We're going to have a time of commitment. But today, I want to first of all ask you whether or not you know the Lord as your personal Savior. I want to ask you if you're part of the family of God. Have you accepted the gift of Jesus Christ and that sacrifice on Calvary's cross that paid the sin debt for you and I, that has purchased eternal life in heaven? Have you trusted Him? Do you believe in Him? Have you said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and I believe every word that is written in the Word of God. And Lord, today I'm asking you to forgive me and to, I'm going to put my trust in you. Save my soul. He'll do that. He'll do it. You do that right now. Maybe you're here today and you've realized that what we have done has been a bunch of ungrateful so-and-sos. And we've realized how lucky we are, how blessed we are, and how much we take for granted and what God has provided in our lives. Don't be to the point where you have to lose it to appreciate it. Interaction time. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Maybe you need to say, Lord, I've been ungrateful. I've been a complainer. I don't even like myself. I don't know how anybody else can like me today because I don't even like myself. But Lord, through your grace and through your will, help me change that today. Maybe you need to spend some time with him in prayer. Listen, if we could help you in any way, if you trusted the Lord, we want to help you on your walk to disciple you to a growing knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Dr. Gant is with our online community. If you're watching online today, please let us know that you trusted the Lord. Please let us know that you've made a recommitment to him so we can pray for you. We promise we won't bother you, but we want to help you any way that we possibly can. Make those decisions for Christ today, that when it all boils down, when it all shakes out, the Lord will say, here comes, insert your name, my child, who is grateful for all that I've done. In an attitude of prayer, as our band plays, you do business with God, and I'll dismiss us in just a moment. That God has spoken to your heart today, that as we head into this week, as we have those opportunities to be with friends and family, if you're going to be, if not, as you have those moments and those opportunities, today, starting today, will you truly say thanks be to God for all of his provision? And in an attitude of gratitude, you will see things in your life begin to change. And if they don't allow the circumstances of your life to dictate your walk with the Lord or your attitude towards others. May this week not only just simply be about Thanksgiving as a holiday, but rather Thanksgiving as a lifestyle. In just a moment, we're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. If you're here in our multi-purpose building, our offering box is sitting right back there by the door. They're offering envelopes on that. If you're outside on the lawn or in the parking lot, there's a box set up out there as well. If you're over in our sanctuary viewing the simulcast, you can place your offering there in the offering plates up front. And again, we want to remind folks that we're in the midst of collection for Operation Christmas Child. We will be collecting boxes today until 5 o'clock, and then tomorrow morning for a brief period of time. If you can get them here today, please do that. That'll help us out a lot because we've got to get these over to the next drop point this afternoon. So we'll be moving some of those out. But thank you so much for those of you who have participated in Operation Christmas Child, and we look forward to what God is going to do because of your sacrifice and your faithfulness in the midst of Operation Christmas Child. I do want to go ahead and announce that we do plan in December to have our regular Christmas Eve communion. We're going to talk about a couple of different times. We're not going to try to pack everybody in there at once. It's a very short, brief opportunity to come together. We ask that you just bring your family, come on in, and all we're going to do is communion. But it's the times and the moments where we pause to reflect about what Christmas is really all about. So go ahead and put that on your calendar. It's a come as you are thing. If you have family from out of town, bring them. We're gonna figure out the logistics on that, let you know. Also, we do plan to have a Christmas concert that will be a virtual Christmas concert for you. We'll give you more detail on that as we get all the logistics squared away on that. Is there anything I've missed that I just completely am not thinking about today? All righty. Well, part of the reason I was gone last week was we had a surprise 60th anniversary party for my mother and father, and I couldn't say anything while I was up here because they watch our broadcast, watch the replay. But we were able to pull off a surprise for them and had a wonderful time. Thank you for Dr. Gant filling in, doing such a wonderful job last week in the pulpit of Central Baptist Church. And we're just going to ask God's blessing upon our offering, giving thanks for being here today. We ask that you just have a safe and healthy Thanksgiving week, remembering all of God's blessings. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you now, and we're so grateful and thankful. And Lord, sometimes it sounds like lip service. And Father, at times it really is, because we can become so habitual. But today, I pray that you will truly help us to focus upon your provision in our lives. Lord, the food on the table, the shoes on our feet, the clothes on our back, the roof over our head, the vehicle that we drive, the finances that procure the food, pay the bills, that keep the heat on. Lord, all that comes from you. And so many times we glaze over it. Lord, help us not to take it for granted, but to truly be thankful, not only today, not only this week, but always. Lord, we are so grateful and thankful for the way you have provided for us, knowing that all of it's yours anyway. And we come to that time where we give back that portion that you've so richly blessed us with. So for the offering today, Lord, we pray your blessing over it. We pray that you will take it and multiply it, that we might continue to be a voice in the wilderness for those who need you. Help us, Lord, to continue to serve you in a way that is pleasing to you. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Y'all have a great Thanksgiving week.